This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Houston, this is the SS Salty Rocket. Are we clear for takeoff?
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The following program is a show intended for an adult audience. Our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
You're with Trouble. Dean Beck on Hide and Seek.
And with the very gorgeous, very handsome, very charming and sometimes very boring Andrew the Apprentice.
Big thanks to Johnny for sending in a message on 0427JOY949.
Ed, I looked very handsome today myself. Johnny, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. I don't know where you saw me, but it's very nice of you to
Bullshit.
Say that. Now, our guests are actually at the launch of a new online magazine called Junkie.
Oh, is that what it is?
And we know this because two of our Joy stars are also at it.
Yes, Dylan, who joined us a couple of weeks ago.
He
from
did
Generation
indeed.
Next.
And the extraordinary Chappelle.
Who does the Chappelle Show on Saturday Powell. Afternoons.
And they're having a wow of a time as they are Facebooking and tweeting accordingly.
Yes, that's right.
So I can only presume that our guests are also enjoying themselves at this
well,
function.
Well, they did tweet on their Twitter just a little while ago that they're going to be here at 10 o'clock.
Right, so that's another thing to add to the list to have a go at them about. But until they arrive, we will keep you I will keep you entertained and Andrew will continue to be his charming, gorgeous, wonderful.
Exactly.
Self. Let's go to a track and hopefully our wonderful guests will be with us shortly on Hide and Seek.
Hello, everybody. This is Nath Valvo, your fourth favourite gay comedian. You know, there's only one radio show I love having a sneaky wang to at the traffic lights, and that is this show, Hide and Seek, with Dean and his apprentice Andrew, who's very, very attractive.
I usually don't swear at my guests, but these fuckwits have taken so long to get here that I'm furious.
You were supposed to be on
10 o'clock. Kirk Docker, welcome to Hide and Seek. It's an absolute delight to finally have you on air. It's been years I've been trying to do this.
I've never been on air with you, and I'm very excited to be here.
Well, you bloody should
be. You only flew in from Sydney this evening, actually.
I know, to be here. We're very privileged. Mm. You've been at the launch of some gig thing, a magazine, online something.
They're called Junkie, and it's a new pedestrian, I suppose, if you know the online publication Pedestrian.
Enlighten us, if
but
you would.
Our listeners may not be aware of it, so you need to...
Because we're not like Gen Y groover like you, you know. Some of us are in our 40s.
They're a young online culture magazine and basically commenting on what's happening offshore and what's happening locally in terms of... So sometimes they're quite small things, so more to do with some of the stuff that we're doing, but also things that are happening on a larger scale culture-wise. They're not just cutting and pasting press releases. They're writing their own opinions. So when they wrote a little piece on us, they watched our stuff and gave a really nice... You know, look at it, and it's all been written by people sort of under 30.
We knew it was important when we saw two of our very own Joy stars there at the launch, and they've been Facebooking and tweeting accordingly. Interestingly, Andrew and I didn't get invited, but at this point in time...
We're not young and hipster enough.
No, well, no.
Should have spoken to us. We could have got you in the back door.
Well, we're busy working, of course, and radio starts on time every time. It's a great pleasure to welcome Ryder Sussman, who has been here before.
I have. I knew where the bathroom was. That's why I'm late.
There is that. Welcome to you both, and it's wonderful to have you both. Now, you have. We'll get to what's going on TV wise a little later, but you started out your, I guess, media career by doing a funny little thing that started to take a life of its own. It's called Viva Cool City, and it's a commentary, well, an observation on society as we don't know it, perhaps.
It's interesting when you create something, you have to start working on how to describe what you do. And when it's not really black and white what you do. You have to start thinking about it. So what we've sort of come up with in the recent months is we dive into the underbelly of human culture. So
nice and broad.
We call that the goop, though.
We dive headfirst into the goop of the underbelly of human culture. But I think the underbelly of human culture, I know it's very broad, but it sort of then cuts out what most people cover.
Does it? So it cuts out pop, essentially.
Yeah, we also like to say we sort of like to shoot stories that would never make it to television. Mm. So on one side of the scale, they're quite taboo. So with our very own Dean here, we did a story on...
Well, I was wondering whether we were going to get to that because...
on learning...
Because of all of your featured videos...
No.
Shut up. There's a little thing on their website at vivacoolcity.com that says, click on the archive and watch every single episode we've ever made.
Oh, right.
Except for the one with me in it.
Is that not there?
No.
It's highly controversial.
I take it was around fisting.
Well, it was indeed.
It was a story on how to fist. I didn't realise that wasn't on there.
It starred our very own Kirk Docker.
Yeah, I learned how to fist, and I learned what Crisco was, and that was a very eye-opening experience. And do you know what I learned, which was really interesting at the time, which I suppose makes a lot of sense to me now, was the oil-based lube is very important because your backside is quite porous. And if you use water-based lube, then that disappears. And the oil-based lube is very, very important. That's why the Crisco. And the picture of the chicken.
The chicken?
Hasn't got a picture of the, the fried chicken?
No.
How do you feel about that title, the doyen of fisting?
I use it regularly. Okay, good. You clearly don't listen to this show.
use it all the time.
He uses it every week.
I wondered whether it was removed.
Should we abbreviate it to DOF? Dean Beck in brackets, DOF.
With two F's.
Doyen of fisting.
I thought it was removed because of your rather illustrious career with an ABC production.
God, you know, really, it wasn't at all. Sometimes, I don't know why, sometimes
people didn't want to see Kirk Docker in a sling.
Well, you know, in I suppose in terms of what we've done since, it actually is a little bit tame.
It's bloody tame.
Mm. So there's no reason why it shouldn't be there. I actually don't know. I'll chase it up tomorrow. It's one of my favourite ones because I didn't cut that one. The way that we work is that, particularly on the website, there was the three of us who ran the website, but then we pulled every sort of favour that we could, and we had a really great network of people that would work on it. But there was three of us who would mainly do it, and between the three of us, we mainly cut it, or we would come up with the stories, and then we'd pull in the people that we needed to. So that particular one was cut by Bass, and who's the third Viva Cool, you know, co-founder and partner. So, you know, what's interesting sometimes when you do a story, you have a bit of an idea of how it's going to be put together. But when someone else takes the reins in the edit suite, they put it in another way. So the fisting episode was put together by Bass, and he put a nice spin on it that I probably wouldn't have cut it in the way that it did. So okay. I really like that one. It makes me laugh.
Yeah. Look, it was a really good episode.
Yeah. And, you know, as much as probably for you guys here, doing a lesson on what fisting is seems, you know, quite mundane. For our audience at that time, who were probably between their mid-teens and their late 20s, early 30s, a lot of people had absolutely no idea about world of fisting
the
unfolds.
Duck bill.
The duck bill.
The duck bill.
A lot of people still don't know the duck bill. Surprises me.
Ryder, how long has the team been together?
I've known Kirk for a really long time. I think I met him when I was 15 years old. And he plucked me right up, and kind of taught me how to drive and how to be a man.
That was a scary, scary weekend.
He always told me I should have an open beer when I'm driving a car.
See, that's rubbish.
It's a ridiculous lesson. But he took
and
me
of
to
course
all the...
on community radio, we do not endorse that at all.
No, it was a different time. But he also drove me to all the good like make-out points to take dates and stuff.
Of course.
In like the nice parts of Kew. In answering your question,
you're destroying his reputation.
It was like 2007 that we worked out that
basically
we needed.
Basically, I taught you where to go for a make-out point and to drink with an open beer.
No, you didn't teach me that. We came up in 2007. We thought there's an opportunity here to start producing our own content because it was before YouTube kind of had taken off.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And then we started practicing a bit, and then we launched properly in 2007.
So was it you? Is it uni, school, just neighbourhood?
The three of us, Bass and I, met each other at uni. Ryder and I met each other at the Reach Foundation.
Okay.
And the people who worked on it are from all walks of life. Really, we just combed our network and our network of network, and we kept our eyes open for things that were interesting. That's the way where we met Dean. We went down to the Fetish Expo. And really, when you start making content that's really left of centre, you become very good at having a very open mind and talking to anyone and being very curious. And I think the what's kept us going is that we're all very curious. We're curious about the world and about things we don't know.
But it's more than that. You're not judgmental in any way either. It comes from a humorous perspective in some instances, sometimes very serious perspective, but also often what comes out of your little mini docos is a different way of thinking about things, and it opens your mind. And none of it is judgmental.
We had a really... When we first started, we almost came up with a really strict set of guidelines that we went by the whole way. And one of them was that we didn't want the host or the reporter to be the focus. We want the story to be the focus. And a lot of this came out of us being frustrated with the type of content that was being made for people like us.
What happened with Ryder? Because he's the centre of focus of all of them.
Well, let me get through our point. So the focus was that the report was not going to be the focus, the story was going to be the focus. The second point was that we wanted to present the idea and let the audience work out themselves what they thought. So rather than us throw our opinion, and I suppose sometimes people compare the sort of stuff we do with, say, someone like Vice. And Vice's thing that they do really well and what they're really known for is giving a very strong opinion. And we want to be sort of the opposite of that. We want to show you the story and let the audience make up our mind. And then the third thing we want to do is if we were going to get involved as a reporter, we wanted that to be so that the audience could be in our shoes. So it's a weird example, but there used to be this show...
Gonzo style.
There used to be this show, this deep sea fishing show out the back of, you know, the UK somewhere. And they'd go out with these guys on these huge ships on these big seas and they would film them fishing. And I watched this thing go, man, it looks pretty intense. But I always thought if they put on a normal person, like a layman on that ship, you'd really be able to understand what these guys were going through, what their experience was. And I think that's what we try and do. If the story requires, you know, a greater understanding of the topic, if we put our rapport in there and they're just a normal person like you and me, you get a bit more of an understanding as an audience member. If they're very honest with their appraisal of what happens, not judgmental, then that really helps tell the story as well. So that's sort of our rules, and that's remained all the way through, right through to the TV show.
Do you find it hard getting content?
No.
No?
Why? Do you want to answer this?
Without sounding like wankers, we're just super creative. So we're just constantly, our brains are ticking at like a million miles an hour and we're checking stuff out all the time. And
I think also that the type of content we're doing is the sort of stuff that you talk about at a pub. You know, you're like, oh, have you heard about this thing? And you're having a few beers and you're talking about it. And it's not just us who are doing that. There's like a lot of people who do that Friday, Saturday night. And then those ideas come and feed back into
us. Indeed. And I've been with them in that environment, right, and workshopped ideas with them. And what you might suggest as an idea that might seem something to run with, they'll take it and then put a totally different spin on it and attack it from a different angle to make it even more quirky, even more bizarre.
What's an example of that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's a good example of Ryder Sussman in shock after this.
Hi, I'm Jesse Jane, and you're watching Vivicool City with me. And I'm sitting here while you're watching it, like just touching myself because I'm so excited that you're watching Vivicool City because it gets me so wet. The guys are so hot and it's so awesome to watch. It just makes me sit there and touch myself. I can't even help it. I'm sitting there so wet thinking about you watching it right now that you're sitting there getting it off. I just want you to shove your fucking dick inside me now while you're watching it and just fucking get me off. I want to come all over that cock if you're still watching it, okay? 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 Are you doing it? Are you watching Vivicool City?
Joy 94.9.
Explain.
That is so epic. I forgot how epic she is.
She's a poet, man.
I can tell you, I Ryder was a few years younger than he is now, but I have never seen a man shake so much in his life.
Right. I'm blushing now as much as I blushed in that shoot. Jesus.
So just describe the visual that goes with that. Is it what it sounds?
It's direct to camera.
Direct to camera.
It's Jessie Jane, who's one of the great porn stars. Right. Just, and renowned for her point of view, dirty talking kind of scenes. And at the time that she interviewed me, I wasn't that experienced in the world of porn, and she just ate me alive. Like, she saw that I was just this, like, skinny, insecure, long-haired moustache boy, and she just ate me apart. And she was amazing.
It was a bit of a pube moustache back then.
It was puby. It's come a long way now. But she was just, it was every boy's dream, like, to be able to interview their favourite porn star, but I just shut down.
He was a mess. He was an absolute mess.
Do you know? I don't know if this is a thing to admit or not, but I'm not massively into porn. Mm. But after meeting her that day, driving away, I distinctly remember sort of pulling over the side of the road over here in Fitzroy and just thinking, man, porn is awesome. Like, you know, it just her energy and her creativity and her just how fun she was. It just really instantly changed my opinion. I was really taken away with her. I thought she was fantastic.
And it changed me as well, because I made sure that next time Dean hooked me up with another porn star, which was Jenna Hayes, I did a shitload of research and I watched every single sex move she'd ever done, all her DP, just everything. So I knew that I wouldn't have another Jessie Jane experience.
It's probably best I don't destroy your illusion. You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. I'm going to let Viva Cool City take us to a break.
Coming up, we delve deep into Guy's tunnel.
3 months of working here, still haven't broken the nail.
Oh, is Dean rabbiting on about fisting again? Well, clearly you must be listening to Hide and Seek with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice on Joy 94.9. Just grab your lube and whack off with him, because if you can't beat him, whack off.
That's right. You're on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your regular Thursday night for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And we're joined by Ryder and Kirk, the two guys behind Viva Cool City. Ryder, you appeared naked on TV the other night.
I did.
What was with... Why didn't
what
you have...
What was with that?
Why didn't you have your cock on air?
Okay, very good question.
You got the top bit, yes, but I noticed.
I want to hear about this too.
I rewound and had another look.
It was shot last year in the peak of winter.
Yeah.
And we went to this gym.
That old story.
It was freezing cold. But listen, the feedback I got from the camera operator,
we had another camera operator.
Oh, you had two camera guys. Sorry.
Who's a cosmopolitan homosexual man, and he told me that my merchandise was impressive. At the time.
So why did you cover it up?
Because I didn't feel like it was at its full potential, and. I'm young. It's my first TV experience. It's kind of like with porn stars, where they're not going to do. They don't. They sometimes don't do anal in their first porno. They build up to it. So I'm going to build up to it. Maybe one day you will get to see my cock and balls.
Let's have a little listen to Ryder with the nudists.
It's absolutely freezing cold. Probably not the most appropriate night for me to be losing my nudist virginity, but we're here at the Nudist Leisure Centre. I've never done anything like this before. So I want you to come along with me and see how I go. Hello! Nice to see you. Welcome. I'm freezing cold.
And so am I. So welcome to the club. How about coming this way?
It's warm in here.
And we can get changed.
Yeah. Nice.
Now, that was a very nervous nose at the end of it. But I've got to say, you had a change of heart by the end of this.
Yeah, well, that grab you just played, I was walking in there to naked people hugging me, and I was fully clothed. So it took me a while to psych myself up to get fully naked. But by the end, I was just blown away with how quickly you could connect to someone when they have no clothes or makeup representing themselves. You just kind of looked into their eyes and you got to see them for who they really were.
The most offensive thing I found about that particular clip was that you were all eating naked.
That was really awkward. Eating party pies naked. Like, sure, give me fairy bread any day, but party pies with dripping hot meat is an insurance nightmare. Working out in a gym completely naked is an insurance nightmare. And at the end of the night, I was told to late. Oh, you're supposed to use towels.
Yes.
So I was sitting on these sweaty gym equipment with, like, nothing on.
I'd be more worried about the next person after you than you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm a good, clean Jewish boy, Dean. You know that. That's why you love me so much.
That eating scene, though, it was gold. The girl standing around, looking around, eating some party pies.
Yeah, the guy whose cock's covered up by, like, a massive Coke bottle. Like, we had so many of those little Austin Powers moments.
There was quite a few of them.
There was a guy lifting dumbbell weights, and the camera went up and down with the dumbbell weights just to keep Ryder covered.
Yes.
It's a good clip.
Kirk, have you done anything like that? What's your biggest thing that you've done on
the fisting
air?
With me.
Oh, okay, you're okay.
Yeah,
Fair enough.
There's another story in the episode where we went to the Collingwood Commission Towers and filmed a couple shooting up.
Yeah.
And so I suppose it's not getting naked, but the day itself, I remember it very, very clearly. And the backstory of that whole story, if we've got time to tell
that
we wanted to do a story on the guys who wash windows at Hoddle Street.
Sure.
Which probably doesn't sound that interesting to all people, but we find things curious and we were really interested in, what's the deal there? How much money do you make? How the whole thing works?
Hence the washing windows reference.
That's right.
Got it. Okay.
At the same time, we'd come up with this idea where we want to film someone shooting up, because what we felt was that you either saw a dire death toll in the Herald Sun where it's just all mayhem and catastrophe and out of control, or you saw the way The Sopranos did, and it was a gold syringe and it was very glamorous. And this is sort of the way heroin was sort of covered in mainstream press to us. So we were really keen to film it as is, see it unfold, show us how it's done, et cetera, et cetera. When we were filming this story, Bass was filming this story on the window washing. The guy that we were filming the story with, when he got enough money, he was literally hightailing it out of there. And Bass was like, oh, hang on. We still need to film the rest of this story. What's the rush? And what he worked out really quickly was that when he'd earned enough money, he and his girlfriend who was sitting by the side of the road, they had enough money to score a hit so they could go back to their apartment and, you know, and shoot up. So when Bass realised this, he sort of asked them straight up, we've been looking to do a story on this. Would you be interested in doing this story? He then got on the phone to me and said, mate, it's on. Meet me. This is at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. Meet me in half an hour at these towers and we'll shoot this thing. So we really didn't know what was going to unfold. You know, you see bits and pieces, but I didn't really have any friends who were addicts and didn't really understand it. So we had met these guys. I'd met them only for 10 minutes. Bass had met them for, you know, a bit longer, and he went with them and picked up some drugs and went with them. We went up into the towers, up to like the 15th floor, and went into their apartment, and they were raring to go. You know, so we're setting up our gear and they're rushing. So
they were raring to go in the sense that they had enough money, they'd got their score, and they wanted a hit. And you were slowing them down.
Piss fart around.
Exactly. And we wanted to ask questions. We wanted to know how it all worked. And they were willing to do it, but they also had their own agenda. So that whole experience, just being in their apartment, hearing their story, not sure how it was going to unfold, you know, being in the personal space of these guys, that was really, really confronting moment. But as it unfolded and we heard this story, it became, you just had this really great respect for particularly Eve, who was telling the story, and you understood her, and it completely opened our eyes.
When I saw that online a couple of years ago, I thought, do I really want to watch this? And I consciously chose not to. But knowing that it was on SBS2 on Tuesday night, I watched it in full. And the respectful way in which you handled the situation is to be congratulated. I mean, it really is them telling their story in such a matter-of-fact way that you can't but connect to the issue that they're facing.
And they, you know, they weren't trying to sort of cover it over. They weren't trying to make excuses. Eve was fantastic talent. And I don't like referring to her that way, but she was. She could really tell her story and articulate her story and articulate where she was at. And you walk away from this thing feeling, I felt like anyway, that I had a much greater understanding of an issue. And also I had a very different opinion of it. And I also felt like I didn't want to go down that path either. It wasn't in any way something that was tempting me either, because we were worried at one point, guys, this is the reaction going to be, wow, you can learn how to do it yourself. And, you know, there was that sort of concern too. So I suppose it's not necessarily getting naked, but it was in its own way a pretty intense experience.
Ryder, you're pretty fearless when it comes to challenges, one of which, for many of us, is kind of a non-issue. But for some, being pissed on is really quite a challenge. And you did not one but two episodes on the subject, and was the guinea pig. Why?
Just before you say that, the two-episode thing online, see, you don't make 300 episodes without working out a way to have a cliffhanger. And if you're going to do a story on Golden Showers and suggest that possibly your reporter is going to be...
Covered in it.
You need to get as much exposure as you can, and so we need to get it over too. There is a skill in the...
It's true, but
how it unfolds.
We could have easily done the first piece where we explore water sports and what
the
it's all
subject,
about.
The subject matter, yeah.
Might we mention that the man we interviewed was third generation at water sport. I don't know what the term is, but he was a third generation.
See, I want to know how you know dad and your granddad were also into it. What is that about?
Yeah. You're an open family. That's what that is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
very strong lines of communication.
One of them's passed away since, but they got to experience a party together where all three generations...
Wow.
That's clearly genetic. Absolutely. Mm. So what's your excuse?
I'm not fearless, by the way. It takes me a while to psych myself up to doing
but
things.
But you do it.
Mm.
And most people would look at that and go, oh, my God, what on earth is he doing that self, or doing that to himself for? Why is he putting himself in that position?
Because we should paint the picture that, like, I'm in this tiny little bathroom in a bathtub while this guy pulls out his dick
And pisses all over me.
Your face.
All over my face. And, I don't know. What was the question? Like, why do I do it? Because I know that I can give an honest reaction to something, and I know that I'm non-judgmental, and a guy can urinate on me, and I'm not going to go, that's fucking disgusting, get the fuck away from me. I know that it can happen, and I can look at it quite objectively.
So what comes first, your dignity or the story?
Oh, I think dignity left the door a long time ago.
Correct answer.
It's always been about the story. Yeah, completely.
Is there anything you wouldn't do?
Oh, I wouldn't fuck a dead body.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never fuck a child.
You've got such high morals.
Our 300th episode, we'd been trying to shoot that for about 2 years on Jenkum, which is the art of getting high off your own feces. And you'd think, oh, Ryder would be the perfect guy to do
but
that.
No way, baby. Because I've had to ask, you mentioned obviously necrophilia and pedophilia.
Yeah.
And they're illegal.
Yeah.
So legally.
So why do a story on bestiality?
I wouldn't fuck an animal either.
No, but you did a story on it.
Donkey rape and suicide. Yeah, it was more... That was the backstory of the donkey, that this farmer had found the donkey after it'd been raped by two of his farmers. So it kind of touched on it a little bit.
But it wasn't the... Okay.
Yeah.
The story was about the donkey suiciding.
Wait, you're going to speak for me?
No. Not at all. I'm just saying, like, some of the stories we did were based off... There's a topic that we want to understand, and then some were based off stories that we heard, and we want to explore that story. And that the donkey one was a story that we'd heard, and we wanted to sort of bring that story to life. Mm. So it was a story that had happened to one of our friends' dads, and it was about, I suppose, recapturing that story more so than just exploring bestiality generally.
Mm.
Although I'd like to do a story on bestiality,
definitely.
Now,
and not like Zoo.
Mm. How do I put this? Are you guys straight?
Yes. A great question.
You could put it bluntly,
Or
you could put it another way.
Yeah, no. I'll put it another way. Yeah. No.
Really?
Just bluntly. Because some of the things you've been describing are what would normally be associated with the gay and lesbian communities.
And that's a really, really good point. Like, we did an episode on the Come Cookbook where I got a head chef of Ladro from Melbourne to cook up three courses of my semen. I didn't have enough semen to produce enough for three courses because we had 24 hours to do the shoot. I bring in my mate. He does a load for me. I end up chucking that on an oyster, eating it. Potentially eating semen could be seen as a homosexual thing. What I've got in my head around is I feel so kind of comfortable in my sexuality that I can do things like that and eat my own cum and know that I'm comfortable enough in my sexuality that it's okay. And,
yeah.
So the cum was an interesting one. and people swallow all the time. So it's just like, I'm lucky, course. I'm ingesting it like with bloody cream crepes. Like.
Although that was the one that you felt like just didn't quite work as well.
Dairy and semen, not the best combo.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hello, everybody. This is Nath Valvo, your fourth favourite gay comedian. You know, there's only one radio show I love having a sneaky wang to at the traffic lights, and that is this show, Hide and Seek, with Dean and his apprentice, Andrew, who's very, very attractive.
Joy 94.9, our guests, Ryder Sussman and Kirk Docker. They're the guys from Viva Cool City who on Tuesday night on... SBS 2 at the prime time of 11:30 p.m. at night had their pilot episode air.
In the tradition of quality programming late night on SBS.
Yes. You just put cock on first and away you went.
We all grew up watching late night SBS.
We did.
Yeah, and we felt like it was a slight pat on the back being put on late night SBS. Yeah, we thought that was a little nice nod.
Tuesday's their doco day.
That's right.
Well, so...
Talk to us about, I mean, you've been making the films for four years or something like that.
Yes.
What was the process of getting it onto SBS? Was it a heart-wrenching tale of do we do this, do we don't? Is it going to be, are we going to have to compromise too much?
They would have asked for my episode, but they couldn't find it.
Well, we made 300 episodes online.
Yep.
Which is a lot of episodes, and we got to the point where we went, okay, if we're going to keep making these, there needs to be a better plan than just making them.
Because I've asked you both many times, how do you make money out of this? To which they never really gave me an answer because I don't think they do.
We got some really nice work out of it in terms of people going, can you make what you do for your site but for us? You know, and that's sort of where some dollars sort of came in. We've got further work from there. It was a very nice apprentice period, I suppose. And I went from doing Viva Cool, I did a show called Hungry Beast on the ABC, and I got to further my skills there, and we've all sort of done our own different things. And last year, we sort of almost let Viva Cool go a little bit with a thought of where does this go to? We're not just going to make content online. If it's going to go anywhere... Why we like the idea of TV, we never wanted to go to TV because we thought TV would be too restrictive.
Yep.
We couldn't do the things that we wanted to do. But what TV gives you is a larger audience and gives you more money. And the world isn't free of TV yet. Although it's fast heading that way, you know, the sort of money that's being put into online... programming is not what's given to television. So,
but we hear of that being the new emerging way of viewing television, not just TV on web, but product made for web.
Yes.
Because of the, I guess, lack of censorship.
Yeah.
To a degree.
So we just thought that using some of the contacts, I suppose, we'd made over the couple of years, we had an opportunity to put a pilot together through SBS, and SBS seemed like a really... perfect spot to make this stuff, and in our minds we thought that if we could build a bit of a more mainstream audience on television and then couple that with continuing to do some stuff online that was a little bit more racy, and that was sort of how we'd go forward.
Hasn't SBS2 made a commitment to change its ethnic format to doing Australian edgy format?
And that's SBS2 really, isn't it?
Yeah. They've relaunched, and yeah, you'd think we'd be a perfect fit for them. But it was pretty interesting working with them because we learned heaps. The show had to be MA 15+, and a lot of the content on the website was R, sometimes even X when we did penetration of sorts. But we learned so much doing it.
I'd call it insertion more than penetration.
Sorry. Yeah. You know about it better than me. But just little differences, like we could show cock, because obviously you needed to show some cock in the nudist gym. But if it was erect, it becomes R18+. So my question is, what if you're semi-erect?
Actually, it becomes X, but anyway.
Yeah, it becomes X.
I did see a shadow after you got up off your massage.
Oh, nice.
Well, this is what you guys are finding out. This is why he was covered the whole time. He was erect through that whole piece.
Mate, well, he was a pretty hot guy.
I've been never further away from getting an erection. The scene they're talking about is when I get a massage from a lovely...
He's erect.
Man,
I've seen the rushes.
Mate, you were in Sydney. It was shot in Narre Warren. You were not there.
You know, we did put his face in the end, but we were going to put a picture of a Chico roll.
But here's the thing. For someone who's so comfortable with their sexuality,
yes.
He who protests too much, oh, no. I reckon.
Oh, no. There was a shadow. There was definitely a shadow.
I'll
show you my dick right now if you want. This is what tonight's about.
You see, Ryder, the sad thing is it's radio. And unless we tweet it or Facebook it, it's not going to work.
I can tap it against the microphone, Dean. You get an idea of the volume.
And if you pause it on that moment when we zoom in on his underpants... You get a bit of an idea.
You get a good a top quarter though in one
you
of
see
the shots.
Mushroom top.
Yeah, I reversed that and rewound it. And
Viva Cool City.
I've auto-tuned it and I've turned into a song.
At Viva Cool City, where we're proudly circumcised.
Now, gentlemen, we want to know what's next.
Yeah, so look, that's a great question, and when you do a project for 3 or 4 years like we did, and then you have a break, and then you come back and make something new. Man, I am so reinvigorated. I've got so many great ideas for new content. So,
I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah, you know, I think with these sorts of things, when you're doing creative projects, you go in ebbs and flows, and you give a lot of yourself to try and make these things happen. You know, you're not making this type of content just doing it half-heartedly. You have to really have a proper crack, and it drains you sometimes. You do run out of steam, you do run out of ideas and energy. And having a break, and we had a bit of a break for like a year and a half,
big break.
You come back with very, very fresh eyes with new experiences. So the plan is to really give it a proper crack again.
We have to wrap up really shortly, but is part of it actually just getting that basically instant gratification from the audience?
Yeah, and all the feedback's been really good, and it'll be on SBS on demand till what date?
June 5.
Let's have a little listen to the introduction of the pilot episode on SBS2. It aired on Tuesday just gone, but it will be there till June 5. It's Viva Cool City.
And we would love you to watch it and let us know what you think on the comments there. You know, love or hate, we don't mind, but let us know.
Let's take a listen now.
What's scary about it is making your mind up. Like, you're scared with control because you're still the boss, you know. You have to make that final decision, okay, I'm jumping. It's the build-up. You don't count yourself in, but you just wait and you get this feeling in your body. You just go, okay, it's on. I'm going to jump this thing.
When you get up there, it's only one way down. You've got to go for it.
Yeah. And then you break the surface, you get your first breath of air in your lungs and you just scream it straight out again.
Welcome to Viva Cool City, where we shove our hand, glove-free, into the goop that is 21st century living.
A few moments ago, we saw one of the Swedish twins backflip 20 metres off a bridge. Tonight, we take you into the murky depths to see what it's really like to shoot heroin.
The way you get the money as well, I'd be lying if I said I haven't had to sell myself for this shoot. It's how I supported a $1,000 a day habit.
We investigate horse therapy. And breast milk ice cream.
Oh my God, this feels really weird. So wrong.
That was the opening of Viva Cool City on SBS2. The easiest way to find it is go to the video section of the SBS website, sbs.com.au, and put in the search Viva Cool City, V-I-V-E, Cool City. Ryder Sussman, Kirk Docker, finally, it's been a delight to have you.
Thank you for joining us.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Gentlemen, pleasure.
All the best for the future ahead.
It is time for us to say goodbye.
It is.
Andrew, it's been a great show,
yes,
as always.
Yes, it has always. Make sure you check us out, joy.org.au/hideandseek.
You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on air. And until next time.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Hide and seek.
Join us for a little hide and seek as we explore sex, sexuality and self.
Ooh, that's hot.
Sponsored by The Lead Hotel, where real men play and stay 7 days a week. LeadHotel.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.